Right now, we are joined by a national NBA writer for The Washington Post, host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, host of Open Floor Podcast, good friend of the program. I mean, no matter what, we always have Ben Golliver on, but he wrote a great, great piece for The Post that I read when I was on vacation, and I couldn't wait to bring him back to talk about it. Ben, good to have you on the show once again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. It's always great to hear your voice, but especially these days. They had me locked inside a hotel room for 7 days, you know, testing me for the coronavirus when I first got down here to the bubble. Not a lot of human contact, so it's great to talk to you.
All right, great to talk to you, Ben. In fact, let's start right there because you're always a very active guy. In fact, during the pandemic, you were walking 8 miles a day, but as you just pointed out, part of your arrival included a seven-day in-room hotel quarantine. Man, what in the world was that like, and what was a typical day like in the in-room quarantine?
Well, it's been busy because we're trying to keep up with, like, which players are here, which players aren't here, who tested positive, who didn't, you know, just trying to adjust down here. But the bottom line is there's a lot of time to kill when you've got, you know, 24 hours a day stuck inside. The only time they let me out, Jim, was to pick up the food off my front porch that they dropped off for me or to stand outside and get my coronavirus test for about 30 seconds every day. Otherwise, I was inside. I didn't have a window. I have a window, but it doesn't open. I couldn't really open my door. I didn't have a patio. So I found myself just killing a lot of time by walking back and forth, trying to get my steps for the Apple Watch or the Fitbit going. I think my record on the very last day when I was really starting to lose it, I walked 9 miles inside my hotel room. I'm not proud of it, Jim. You know, it's one of those things that they're probably going to have to put on my gravestone at some point way down the road, but that's what I had to work with.
Dude, that is incredible. I'm sure the guy living below you was proud of that. I mean, the way you lay that out, Ben.
I was going to say, a couple of people did ask to change hotel rooms, you know, after we got out of the quarantine. Hopefully it wasn't my fault, but if so, I apologize.
Ben, I was going to say, the thing that's amazing, it's like being in prison and you get that 1 hour a day to walk out in the yard. Your only release was the 30 seconds for the test. So when you finally were released after a week, how good did it feel to get out?
It felt amazing. You know, when they were doing the testing during that week, though, I'd be like, guys, slow this down. Go ahead. Stick that Q-tip up my nose for a little bit longer.
Farther.
We don't need to rush this thing.
Right? Oh, man.
Let's get a little bit more time out here. But, no, the release feeling on Sunday was absolutely amazing. It's a really pretty, beautiful campus. It was kind of tempting me out the window. You know, there's this nice lake. There's a fountain. It's been like 90 degrees and sunny basically every single day. So that kind of made the quarantine even tougher, but getting out, feeling the sunshine, getting down by the pool was nice. You know, the one thing, though, is it turns out they've kind of created a little bit of a pen or like a bullpen for the media here. So the players get access to the lake. They get access to fishing. They get the bikes. They get the golf courses. The media doesn't really get any of that. We're sort of in our own little quadrant. It's actually about 0.2 miles long, so you think it's not even a full lap around a track. It's really not that big, so it's been an adjustment period even just getting out of the hotel room, realizing that for the next 3 months, Jim, 94 nights, I'm going to be staying on this little campus. It kind of feels like a college quad.
Ben Golliver joining us. Ben, I go back to that story you just told. That's amazing. You were like, hey, can't you get that Q-tip a little closer to my brain? Why are you rushing through this horrible procedure? I don't want to go back to my room. All right, so what about the food, Ben? How is the food, Ben?
Well, I'm okay with the food, honestly. Like, they bring it, you know, big portions basically every single day. Now we got this grab-and-go setup. The food is basically designed to be as plain as possible and to appeal to as many people as possible. So I understand, like, if you're living, you know, that Ritz-Carlton lifestyle or, like, Four Seasons lifestyle like the players, it's probably, you know, a little bit of an adjustment period. But, you know, for me, it's not been a huge problem. The one thing I would say is that, you know, during quarantine, they were bringing me so much junk food. I was like really trying hard to resist it. So I made a little bag in my corner. So I have like 15 bags of Doritos and all these brownies and stuff to try to, like, you know, keep myself on track. It's almost like the motivation to not eat bad by just looking at this, like, you know, statue of junk food in my corner.
Dude, I like the mind games you're playing with yourself, Ben. You got to come up with stuff like that to get through it, I would imagine. Now, you're also living in the type house, as it has been glossed. Who is in the type house, and how would you describe the mood right there now?
Well, I felt really proud of coming up with the name, the type house, for all the writers, because they only took about 10 independent media members, writers, to cover this thing. It was a real, you know, difficult application process. We didn't find out until 1 week before we had to come down here, so it was a real scramble. You've got writers from the New York Times, Associated Press, USA Today, The Athletic, a few others that I'm sure I'm forgetting. To me, it's funny because like the hype house on TikTok, it's all these teenagers who get together and like film videos of each other and are trying to be goofy. We're like the oldest, lamest possible version of that. You know, it's a bunch of guys who are just like hoping to get into some empty gyms to watch basketball games, but we're all crammed together here. It looks a little bit like a motel. It's actually a property where usually a lot of families would come down and stay here. So like my room, for example, it's got two double beds. It's kind of like, you know, for a family of four, if you're coming down to Disney for a long weekend or something. So we're all in close quarters for sure. They've got these little alarms though that start beeping like smoke detectors if you spend too much time close to somebody. So you know, like when Zion comes back, for example, you know, if I'm trying to get too close to get a photo, my name tag is going to start blaring and saying, "All right, you got to step back. You're breaking the rules."
Ben Golver, my guest. I'm going to ask you about Zion. Follow up on that in 1 minute. But one more thought: since you've been living through it, has it changed your feelings about the tip line? For instance, are you a bigger fan of the tip line now that you know that anybody breaking the bubble is putting everybody else at risk and jeopardizing the efforts of everybody who is following the rules?
Well, here's what I would say about the safety side. I actually feel more comfortable here than I thought I would because we do get tested every single day. And like you look around the world, how many people have access to daily testing? It's such a privilege. It's such a luxury. Obviously, we're paying for it as media members. It's like part of the money that we had to spend to come here. But I actually thought being on campus with a lot of other people, even if they wore masks, I thought I would be kind of uncomfortable just because I've been staying so safe at home in Los Angeles before I got here. But that testing part really helps with the mental side. In terms of the tip line, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to be calling the line. And I do have the number, by the way, Jim. I'm not sure I'm going to be calling that line if I see Dwight Howard not wearing a mask, for example. But if there's some sort of like a party bus with like 40 guys coming in with techno music playing from downtown Orlando, I feel like I might actually have to call that line at some point. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. You know what I mean?
Hey, Ben, yeah, I do know what you mean. And knowing how responsible the clones are, why don't you just share that number with me so I can give it to them? Just kidding.
Well, I was actually thinking last Thursday, I was like, maybe I should let Jim know that I need care packages from the clones. Like, it's getting so dark in this quarantine period. God knows what they would have sent me. That'd probably be the worst thing I could possibly do. But I was getting desperate there about halfway through.
Let me know, Ben. I'm here for you. And I know they are, too. Ben Golver is my guest. You mentioned Zion. Now, Zion was expected to be the star of the seeding games. The team did announce on Thursday that he left the bubble for an urgent medical family matter. What do you make of that news, and what will his status be?
Well, here's the big takeaway from this. We have very little transparency on situations like this, in part because, like, if it's anything to do with the coronavirus, the NBA and the teams will not announce if a player tests positive or negative, so that the player has to make that announcement itself. And also, we don't have access to the player's hotel or even to these teams, like, with great regularity, at least not yet. Now, we just got into practice for the first time today, so that could change here going forward. But it's very hard to track down any kind of information about a situation like Zion because – the access is so tight, it's so limited. They've really just created a bubble within the bubble to keep the players safe from the media. So that makes our jobs more difficult. You know, we're still waiting to get an update on what's going on with Zion or his family members. We just don't know. What we do know, though, is if he wants to come back in and be available for opening night, the clock is ticking. If he's able to get testing when he's off campus, then he still has to go through a 4-day quarantine period once he comes back. If for whatever reason he can't get testing when he's off campus, he has to go through a 10-day quarantine once he comes back. So you can start to do the dates here and realize, like, he basically has until July 26th to come back as long as he's still getting tested and still be available for opening night. I can tell you this. I mean, you think about how much time and effort and money went into planning this thing. If they don't have Zion on opening night for, you know, as expected, it's going to be such a big blow for the NBA.
Oh, no doubt. That was the big thing. The big thing about the seeding games to get him back there. Hey, Ben, quickly before I let you go, what about a thought or two about the LA Lakers? For instance, LeBron James met with the media earlier today. How would you describe his mood and his overall approach to life in the bubble?
Well, one thing after not really hearing a lot from LeBron for the last 4 months, I just stress everybody, don't take this guy for granted. Like, he realizes when there's a stage, and he always steps up and delivers. I mean, today he was talking about Representative John Lewis. He was talking about how the thing that he missed the most during quarantine was his mother, because it was the first time in his entire life he'd been separated from her for, as many months as it was. I mean, he was really, you know, kind of bringing a lot of honesty and, a lot of thoughtful takes. Everybody is still adjusting. I thought one of his big takeaway quotes was like, look, this is 2020. Nothing is normal about this. You pretty much just have to reset every single day and have a positive mindset. And I think those are the types of teams that are going to succeed if they're down here at Disney World. If you're coming down here and thinking, man, what a drag, the food sucks, my hotel is not as good as I want it to be, and you have that kind of mentality, you're going home early. You know, you're just not going to be able to withstand the kind of challenges that are going to come up during these playoffs. If you're kind of, you know, come down here and you're down for whatever, you're ready for the challenge, you're ready to adapt and try to adjust on the fly, it doesn't matter if there's fans in the stands or not, you're just kind of ready to play basketball. I think those are the teams that are really going to be successful. And in general, the Lakers seem like they're in a good place. And, you know, and obviously that's going to follow from LeBron, but he seemed very comfortable to my eye, and I think that's a good sign for Lakers fans.
I think that's such a great point. So finally, Ben, as a follow, if you had to guess, and probably we'll see a little bit of everything, but if you had to guess, is this, because it's so unusual and the circumstances are not ideal in any sense, is it going to bring out the best in most people, or might some people be looking to go home a little bit earlier because it just frankly sucks?
Yeah, I mean, one of my pet theories is that if you get down 2-0 in a series, you're rolling over. That's kind of like what I think is going to happen. You know, usually if you're down 2-0 against a better team, you get game three back at home if you're the underdog, and now you have a crowd to kind of cheer you on, and maybe you extend the series that way. I kind of think if you're down 2-0 to the Lakers, you start thinking like, wow, you know, the comforts of my own home, you know, my wife, my kids, you know, I could be home in a week if we wind up, you know, losing this series. It's not like you tank, but just psychologically, maybe you let go of the rope a little bit. So that's one thing I'm going to be looking for, especially in those early playoff games where you do have like a real disparity in talent between the teams. Like, do we start to see really quick series down here just because there's no home court advantage and because there's so much temptation to go home?
Well, there you go. That's why I was looking forward to that conversation. A fascinating look about what's going on inside the bubble from a guy who's right there, a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, host of the Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, host of Open Floor Podcast, and as you know, a very good friend of the program. Ben, appreciate you. Great to hear your voice. Hang in there, and I know we'll do it again soon.
That sounds great, Jim. Take care, man.
Take care, Ben. Good job. Really well done, Ben, as always. All right, so we'll break. When we come back, your thoughts, your reaction. If you want to go somewhere different with it, go ahead. You got an opportunity finally. Top of the hour, Dustin Poirier. Somebody I've got a lot of respect for.